giving away $4,000 in jewelry from Diamonds by Drake at Girls Night Out, going on now, live from Duke's Original Roadhouse, and brought to you by Red Stripe Beer, Harmonix Hair and Skin Clinic, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The roundtables continue here at a wild and crazy Girls Night Out. If you're in the Addison area, come by and see us. The fun is just starting. Lots and lots of women here. Normally, the ratio at a guy's night out is probably 10 to 1, guys to girls. But here, it's probably 3 to 1, something like that, guys to girls, 2 to 1 maybe.
Yeah, pretty close.
And the first 200 girls through the door tonight get a free ticket personal fan. And we're also giving away a diamond from Diamonds by Drake. Diamond earrings, retail value $1,500. So come on by and try to win those if you're a girl.
Hey,
lots
man.
Of good sponsors. Red Stripe, D&M Cycle World, Vengeance Motorcycles, Harmonix Hair and Skin Clinic, Love Sack, and Sebastian's Closet.
Yeah.
And on the round table for this segment, you've got myself, Junior, Rhines. Welcome
Junior.
Back, Rhines.
Thank you. Nice to be here, as always.
And TV Tim, how are you?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Actually, don't they win, like, earrings and a necklace?
Is it earrings and a necklace?
I think it is.
It's like 4,000 total.
Oh, you're right. I didn't see the and. Yes, and a diamond stud pendant valued $1,200. Man, that's some good stuff.
A lot of jewelry. Good reason to get out here.
All right, so you guys are married. How?
It's like chum in the water for women, isn't it?
Right.
I was going to ask you,
you got diamonds for women, they'll come here.
And of course, if you're thinking the girl with the biggest jugs, well, so are we. Come out here and let's find them together.
All right, so when it comes to your lovely wives, how important is it to keep them in fine jewelry to keep them happy?
You know, I think it goes woman by woman. My wife, Michelle, is actually real low-key on jewelry.
Really?
Yeah, she's not really into it that much, especially like diamonds and stuff. She's got very little other than a couple of rings and some earrings. She doesn't really get into it. She likes some silver and different things like that, but I'm real lucky. I mean, it's almost like I've got to force her. If I buy her a present, she'll almost want to take it back if she thinks it's, like, too much.
Wow, that's great.
Isn't that amazing? I know. That's when I realized I had to marry her. I wasn't that crazy about her, but then I realized I got to marry this girl. She's really not into jewelry stuff at all.
Rhines, what about Renee? Do you have to keep her in diamonds?
I don't have to, but she likes it. It's always a good good present. Anytime a present is called for, it always works. I don't mind doing it. It's kind of fun to shop for it.
Are you thinking about putting on a dress and a wig and trying to enter the contest tonight for these earrings and pendant?
And then, winning those and giving them to her?
Yeah.
The thought has crossed my mind.
Or keeping them if they look good on you.
Yeah, thought has crossed my mind. Because let's face it, when I do put on that stuff, a fella's got to look good, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, are you still cross-dressing as much as you were, say, 3 years ago?
More.
More?
Yeah, more into it now.
As you get older.
Right.
Really?
It gets more fun as you get older.
Well, we must be going to different parties now because I don't run into you as often.
Well, the whole scene has kind of branched out quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's far more diverse than it used to be, Junior.
I'm into the mesquite scene now, the mesquite cross-dressing scene.
Yeah, well, see,
I
faded out of that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making my way up toward North Dallas. I mean, I'm working Plano a lot these days.
That's more high tone.
Yeah, Plano, Addison, where we are. I mean, I've seen a lot of familiar faces here tonight.
Weird looks.
Right.
Knowing nods.
Right, a lot of knowing nods have been exchanged. And last week I went to a scene in Allen that was kind of cool.
Excellent.
It was my first foray up there. I'm working my way up toward McKinney, and after that, who knows? Sherman Denison can't be far behind.
Look out, Red River. Here you come.
That's right. Maybe all the way up into Colbert, Oklahoma, see what they got going up there.
Yeah. You'd probably be a really good-looking woman up in Oklahoma.
I probably would.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Hey, I'm pretty good-looking anywhere, sweetheart.
Mike Reiner.
Well, Tim, how's everything on the late-night extravaganza?
It's going all right. You know, it's just, we got a new guy. I don't know if you know, probably don't, but we had Not Gay Joey, who was kind of like, you know.
The actor.
The actor, who was always in and out of plays like actors are locally. Mm-hmm. But he's gone now, and we got Jeremy, who we call Jokler because his last name is Oakler, so it's Jay Oakler, and or Fat Bastard. But he's a big fat guy.
Is he funny?
I can't see him. He's here somewhere. He's not bad. You know, we're breaking him in.
Okay.
He's a big Irish guy. Big
Jeremy's fat.
You don't think Jeremy's fat?
Our Jeremy is fat. No, why are they all fat?
No, he's not that fat, but he's like 6'2", 290. That's fat, isn't it?
You know, our Jeremy has lost 60 pounds. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. He's been on, he's been watching what he eats, and so he's down to like 400 now.
And that's like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic, though.
Well, Greg the Whale lost a bunch, didn't he? Did he get it back? I saw him.
He lost, yeah.
Greg the Whale lost like...
Wow, he has lost some.
What'd you lose? How many pounds did you lose? How many pounds did you lose? 30?
Three?
25 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Remember, because he was fighting, like, what is it, a month ago we did the boxing out of Lone Star?
Yeah.
He lost like 25. You still going down?
Good for you.
Again, that's a deck chair off the Titanic, too.
Well, and Big Dave, the longtime P1, has lost a lot, like 120 or something. So what's the deal with all the fat guys losing weight lately?
I don't know. You know, they were all more youthful when they were fat.
There's no question. They're funnier.
Happier, too. Happier. They lose weight, and they start losing, like Greg the Whale here. I haven't seen him smile since he lost weight.
No, he's not happy.
You're always angry now, aren't you?
Because he doesn't get enough to eat.
You're pissed off. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, put the headphones on.
I said, it's not quite the same. You're like angry now when you're losing this weight because you're not eating like you used to.
But I'm happy.
No, you're not. Even when you said that right there, you seem pissed.
I don't think you are, and you're far less useful than you used to be.
Well.
Whoa, Greg.
What are you weighing now, Greg?
Tim, Greg, I'm sorry, I've got to cut you off. Ryan's, do you have anything else to say?
No, I've got nothing, Junior. We're done, man.
We have a 6:50 ticker coming up, and we have to hit that on time, so...
Damn.
We'll switch out the round table. It's Norm, Corby, and Big Dick Hunter coming up next from Girls Night Out at Duke's Original Roadhouse in Addison, Beltline, and Midway. Come see us.
Before the night is through, we're giving away diamond earrings and a necklace from Diamonds by Drake at Girls Night Out. Now back to the boys, live from Duke's Original Roadhouse, and brought to you by Red Stripe Beer, Harmonix Hair and Skin Clinic, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
My name is Norm Hitzkiss. We're at Duke's Original Roadhouse. This is not to be confused with Duke's fake roadhouse, which is someplace else in the area. This is Duke's Original Roadhouse. We're on Beltline, just west of Midway. And roundtables usually are we'll discuss this, we'll discuss that, and all of a sudden the landscape changes.
A lot of times you don't know what you're going to discuss.
Exactly right.
I got a feeling we know what we're going to discuss here, right?
The report has just come out that Steve Nash has reached agreement with the Phoenix Suns. Period, end of sentence, goodbye.
Okay, now that, and since he's an unrestricted free agent, it doesn't mean the Mavericks have the right to match or anything like that. He's just unrestricted. He goes out there, he gets his deal, and he signs with it, and the Mavericks get nothing, Ryan.
He's gone.
The way I understand it is
true,
if the team he signs with is under the cap, which Phoenix is, way, way under the cap, then he's gone.
You know what? This isn't surprising. We were talking about this morning. Not that I predicted he was going to sign with Phoenix tonight, but we were wondering, would Steve Nash ever sign here knowing that the possibility that 2 months down the road, he ends up traded to L.A. was a very realistic possibility. Why would he sign a contract here?
He can get more money. He can get more money with the Mavericks than he can anywhere else. But, you know, I agree. I thought that if he was going to be a sign and trade, it would be where they go to him, they say, look, we're going to sign you. We're going to get you the maximum money, but we're shipping you out. You're part of a deal. And, you know, the question is, why would they do that? You get more money.
Yeah. I don't think money, obviously, was the key issue, just maxing out somewhere. I think he wanted to play somewhere where he was happy. I think a year ago when they pursued Jason Kidd, that made him unhappy. I think he's always had a bit of an issue with Cuban and
Why
the drafting of Devin Harris.
I mean, what is the deal with him? I mean, Cuban has done nothing but treat those guys like gold. I mean, you guys did a show with him for a number of years. What's his problem?
I've always heard that over time, the players have become a little worn out on Cuban's act. The ranting and raving, the yelling at the officials, the sitting behind the bench and just screaming his head off.
God, nobody supports their players and treats them better than Mark Cuban.
I can see that, though. I can see where that would start to beat some of these guys down, and I'll bet it has.
Mm-hmm.
Remember our tease this morning when we talked about what I was going to talk on the show, and the one thing was, Devin Harris for a four-year contract and Nash for a five-year contract?
Yeah.
That somehow didn't make any sense.
Yeah, we were talking about that today.
Do you guys believe the Mavericks knew this all along?
Possible.
And that
Possible.
The reason the acquisition of the number five pick was made was they knew at five there would without question be a terrific college point guard. Somebody. Livingston, Gordon, or Harris.
So you're thinking that maybe Steve Nash had, through his representatives, had already told the Mavericks, hey, look, don't bother. We ain't coming back here.
Or, you know how the rumor mill works.
Or did Phoenix just blow him away with an offer?
Well, you, and again, Monday, in talking about it, you guys have mentioned it. Phoenix has been around for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, they have. It's been out there on the grapevine for some time now that he was mad because they didn't do anything for him last year.
And once again, real estate comes out. I didn't know he had a house out there
still.
Well, real estate always plays a big part, Norm.
Hey, Grego, NBA players have homes in six different cities around the league.
And just girlfriends in 12.
And 12.
And fun babies in about eight.
I was going to say, Sean Kemp, it's 12 and 18.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this is kind of sad to me.
That's a breakup of the big three.
Yeah.
Well, consider what else it
does. You know, where Cuban was hell-bent on keeping them together, and it was one of his own that kind of bugged out.
All right, let me ask you, though. Did the fans really want to see them kept together? Did the fans really want another year of that?
Well, you remember, Ron, the day that we started talking about the Shaq for Dirk, and everybody was calling in and saying, hey, don't do that. You know, don't ship Dirk out. Don't ship Michael Finley.
That's true.
So it seems like they do.
Guys, let me ask this, though. My first thought here was, what effect does this now have on a Shaq deal?
Well, I don't think Nash was going to be included in a Shaq deal anyway.
But maybe Devin Harris could have been.
Could have been.
On an L.A. team looking for young talent. Now you can't deal Devin Harris. He is your future. He's your starting player.
Okay, all right, well, what about Nash going to Golden State? Because apparently you're going to have to get them involved if Eric Dampier is going to be a part of this thing.
Well, Nash is gone.
Nash would not want to go to Golden State.
Nash is gone.
He's pretty
and
much
that is
taking
one
on.
Huge chip gone from the Mavericks stack.
Right, I'm thinking of this today. Let's say L.A. gets Kobe signed. Isn't Kobe going to have a lot of input as to what he wants around him? So I'm guessing he's not going to want Antoine Walker around him. Apparently he didn't want Dirk around him. He's going to want, I'm guessing, young athletic guys, young talent. He'd probably be fine with Josh Howard or Devin Harris maybe. But would the Mavericks part with all of their young talent to get Shaq? You know, in other words, isn't Kobe going to have a lot to say in what the Lakers get in return for Shaq?
Well, the one thing I will say to you guys is, I agree. The Lakers have to have, I think, at least two real players back. Now, you may include a Walker to flesh out the salary cap needs. But suddenly, the Mavericks don't have... they're still a very talented team. But if you're talking of giving three or four for one... You can't trade Daniels, and now you can't trade Harris. You say you won't trade Dirk. Is there any...
Yeah, your options are diminished.
Is there any package there for Shaq?
And I'm saying if you had to include Walker in any package, I think Kobe's going to look at that and say, nah, let's talk to Sacramento.
Well, my thought was if you could do Walker and Howard in some kind of deal for Dampier.
Right.
Then package Dampier, Howard, and Walker. That's an interesting trade if you're
Maybe.
In L.A.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're looking for something, I tell you the player here, guys. I had Joe Malouf on this morning. Sacramento is a player in the Shaq suite.
I heard that. He sounds like he's more than interested.
Did you catch the drool on the air?
Yes, you could.
He could feel the drool.
Yeah.
Oh, we think he's a very, 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 very good player.
We still think he's the most dominant player in the league, the best player in the league.
Well, would they part with their big two?
I think they would.
Or two of their big three?
I think they would.
I think Weber without question.
Yeah, they'd love to get rid of him.
Yep.
And Bibby?
I mean,
does that make them better, though?
They get Shaq.
I know, but does that make...
Yes, that makes them instantly better.
Who's going to be their point guard?
Bobby Jackson.
Bobby Jackson.
As a point guard?
Yeah.
Hasn't he been tried there before and didn't and failed?
I think he'd be fine. I think Shaq surrounded by Peja and Christie and Bobby Jackson.
Now, that would be kind of scary, Peja and Shaq.
I think that makes
it
better.
There's a classic inside-out game there.
Think Peja would get some open jump shots?
Yes.
He'd get some anyway.
You know, there's another thing in there. Brad Miller's in that mix.
Yeah.
Would L.A. be interested in a Brad Miller package with Brad Miller in it?
That's what I think the Mavericks... I think they need to set their sights on Kenyon Martin.
Again, that's going to be a sign-in trade.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, though, it looks like the Kings now have more options available to them than the Mavericks do.
Yeah. As many, and Mike, maybe not more options, but the option of putting something good around Shaq has decreased, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this is fascinating,
isn't it?
Because you got this big giant puzzle out there. And you got the one piece, and it's so fun just to speculate on what you're going to put around that.
Yeah. That's why basketball's a talking sport.
No.
I think it's really proven that it's a talking sport.
It's a conversation. You can have a conversation about it.
It's a chit-chat sport.
But you can't talk about it.
All right, so how good does this make Phoenix with Nash and Marion and Stoudemire? Do they come back from being really bad like they were this year?
Here's the frightening thing.
They need more.
Here's the frightening thing. They've still got cap room.
Yep.
What if Phoenix now becomes a player in the era of Dampier? What if their starting lineup is Dampier flanked by Stoudemire and Marion, Nash and Joe Johnson? That ain't bad, guys.
Nope.
And this is a fascinating thing in the West because power's moving all over the place in the West. Mm-hmm. Craig loves the Spurs. You've got cap room.
I know it, but they're getting left out.
But once again, I'm going to believe that the Lakers trade Shaq when it happens. Until then, I just can't see how they're going to let that happen.
I'm with you on that.
Even though
plenty of time for everybody to kiss and make out.
Yes.
Even though, you know, they're both saying that this is now Kobe's team and Shaq would, if he goes back, he's clearly going to be the number two guy.
I have a question, though. The news was breaking out of the East Coast today about the next Lakers coach.
Coach K.
I'll believe that when I see.
Well, Duke called a press conference and basically said, we understand they're in serious negotiations. Now, if you're Coach K,
do
you sign up for a college coach?
What do you mean?
If you're Shaq, do you sign up to break in a college coach?
I don't know. I have no idea what he thinks about him.
But I'm sure we'll know because I tell you what, Shaq
even knows who he is.
Shaq might ask the question, now who's this Coach K?
You know, that'd be an interesting question for one of Corby's rounds.
Ask
who's
Shaq.
The coach of Duke? Mike Krzyzewski. Give me the first four letters of his last name.
I can guarantee you there's not five guys in the NBA that can spell Krzyzewski. Not five.
Kristen Leitner probably can.
Yes.
Grant Hill probably can.
Grant Hill. All the Duke guys.
Yeah.
But isn't this a fascinating turn of events?
It is. And, you know, kind of sad that Steve Nash, Ron, doesn't that kind of tell you that he was pretty unhappy with things? I mean, he didn't wait, obviously. It's not like he waited very long for this. He waited, 12 hours to come out of here?
I still look back at the draft, and I see Mavericks pulling the deal with Washington, getting the fifth pick, and I suspect the Mavericks knew something was up now for weeks.
And so they visited with his agent at 11:01 last night just as a last ditch. Hey, let's try one more time. Is there
and
any
apparently,
hope here?
If you believe what you read, the Mavericks were holding steadfast to the 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Phoenix was going to go, five or six.
But now, Craig, we all know nobody in the league violates the 11 o'clock rule from last
night. Nobody.
Nobody. But this came up today.
Yeah, just like they don't violate the July 14th rule.
But do you blame the Mavericks for not wanting to go more than 4 years on Nash?
No.
See, I don't either.
I don't really.
I mean, didn't we see evidence of Gary Payton, what can happen to a point guard when they lose it?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. We got that sound effect, don't we?
Gary Payton losing it.
That one falling through the floor.
Yeah.
Because that's...
You know, especially if they think they've got their point guard of the future, if they think they've got him in the draft, I don't blame them for not going five or 6 years.
The difficulty here is you lose a chip in a dealing process. That's the difficulty.
Yeah.
You lose a chip. And that was the whole purpose behind Dragan Harris. I think. You know, at worst, they cover their ass in case something like this happens. At best, it gives them another option.
Yep. And, you know? And yeah, at best, Nash becomes a chip, and the chip's gone now.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess that the Mavericks refocus on Dampier now.
Well, is he going to fix what's wrong with this?
Well, at least
I think Kenyon Martin does a lot more to fix more of what's wrong with this thing than he does.
The problem is, you've got to give up a giant amount to get Kenyon Martin. He's restricted. You've got to do a sign and trade, and the Nets know he's a star. They're not going to want. Golden State may be willing to take Josh Howard and Walker for old Dampier and Evan Eschmeyer's contract coming back. But I don't think New Jersey's going to bite on something like that for Kenyon Martin.
I don't know. It looks to me like they're tearing down just about everything.
Yeah.
Now, what are the Mavericks going to do with Jerry Stackhouse and Christian Laettner now?
Well, Laettner is a one-and-out deal. He's got one more year left, and he gives them. Laettner's actually pretty good depth to just hang around a contender.
He's a bad guy in the locker room.
They're going to send those guys.
I hear he and Stackhouse.
They just poisoned the scene in Washington.
I wouldn't want any part of those
guys.
And
you want those guys even hanging around for 1 year, Norm? You want them even 1 year hanging around?
Greg, I agree with you. On the other hand, it's tough to tell when the scene in Washington was poisoned. 83?
Well, they sure didn't. Yeah, maybe back when Phil Chenier was there.
Exactly right.
They hadn't been the same since Dick Vaughn left.
Exactly right. But, you know, I'm not so sure Stackhouse is a bad guy. I really am not.
Well, you talk to people up there, and they'll tell you different.
I know.
They hated him up
there. You hear that about players? By the way, you hear it about Nick. Nick was wonderful.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, guys can change and put them in a different city. And that's right. We've got to give them a chance. But just on the floor, where does Stackhouse fit into this thing now?
Yeah, I mean, he needs the ball. And you think, I mean, when he steps on the court, he is at best the third option and probably the fourth.
I saw a scenario where he's the sixth man. He replaces Van Exel and Jameson.
Oh, now is he going to be the happy guy of taking that? You know,
if he doesn't have a choice, if it's between sixth man and tenth man, I think he'd be happy with the sixth man.
I think they got lucky with Jameson that he accepted that role. But yeah, Jerry Stackhouse coming in here, I mean, how many NBA established NBA players that have been starters their whole life are all of a sudden going to go, yeah, okay, I'll be a sixth man?
I agree.
Yep.
Especially how many guys that have had back-to-back 50-point games are going to do that. That tells you what a sweet guy Antoine Jameson was.
I just don't want any part of Stackhouse. If I'm trying to build a champion, I don't think he has a place here.
You know, I'll say this. I was told by the Mavericks that their reports on Stackhouse are different, that they think Stackhouse is fine.
Of course, that's the Mavericks. They're going to tell you all the good stuff about everything. I mean, they told us Sean Bradley could play.
Want me to debate that next segment?
Norm, I think we're going to kick you off this round table.
See you, guys.
All right, Norm. On the ticket.